we can get you one. But you know, I use my iPad. It's got a Bible on there, so that's what I do. But everybody's going to need one today. The second thing I'm going to need today, a little later on, is volunteers to read some scriptures today. We're going to do a talk, but we're also going to do a study at the same time as we're going through today. So I'm going to ask for a volunteer. I say, here's the scripture. And I'll give out 3-4 scriptures at a time and say, okay, I'll take that one, you'll take that one, you'll take that one. And we'll go to that scripture, and then when it comes time to read it, I'll have Connor bring the mic over so everybody can hear you, so we can all enjoy this scripture together. So everybody game so far? Everybody scared? Nobody scared? Okay, all right, good. All right, good. So the title of our sermon today we're talking about is Slow Down. You know, when you visualizing what you want to talk about when you're going to preach a sermon for the day, you sit back and you relax. I'm sitting at my desk, and you start to ponder usually what the things that are affecting you in your daily lives. And I started to think about that, and then I was just looking on my desk, and I had this little box that's sitting here. It's a little fun box for kids, and if you look at it and you say, hey, come here, pull this thing out, and you pull it out too fast, and it's got this little snake with a needle on the end of it, and it'll poke you. And my grandfather did that to me a lot of times when I was a little kid. And he unfortunately left us too quickly, left us when I was 9 years old. But I remember vividly about this box, and is every Saturday my grandfather and my dad would, we'd go over there for dinner, and then grandpa would get 15 minutes per grandchild, and then dad and grandpa would go off and study for 2 hours while we just hung out with grandma and mom, and then we would leave. So I was looking at that, and I was like, the representation, we'll get back to that in a little bit, about taking the time to slow down. I'm a fast, oh my gosh, don't do that again. I'm a fast-paced guy. I'm in the restaurant business, so you kind of have to be. And I'm constantly told all the time, Jeff, slow down. Because I'm a get it done, bam, it's over, it's done. I wash it off my plate. I like to get as many things accomplished as quickly as humanly possible. But we tend to, when we go so fast and slow down, we miss things. And we don't take a look at what somebody's saying to us, really. Because we're so interested in just, bam, it's done. And we get it off our plate. So there's a back in the 1950s, a term was first given to a diagnosis of what they call today as hurry sickness. So you know it has epidemic issues right now in the United States. So they're talking about it since it was first diagnosed in the 1950s. So I'm going to read you the definition of hurry sickness today. Hurry sickness is defined as a modern malady caused by rushing about, a compulsion to do everything quickly, or a chronic feeling of being short of time, attributed to the fast pace of modern life and causing symptoms such as anxiety and insomnia. Wow. Anybody have those issues? Me too. Exactly. So let's look at what are the symptoms of hurry sickness today. And I guarantee you all have one of these. Okay. So, gas stations. You go inside to get a gas station. You go inside for a simple water or a soda. And you go in there, and there's a guy at the front counter. The line's 5 or 6 people deep. And this guy's buying lottery tickets and turning in lottery numbers. And it irritates you. You have hurry sickness. Traffic lights. All right, so you're coming up to a traffic light and you're looking straight ahead and you see this old or a big van or a big truck and you hit the gas pedal to get over in the right-hand lane so you can get up and go faster past the light because you know if you get behind that guy, it's going to be slower than the traffic over here. How about if you're going up and you're pulling up to a light and it's turning yellow and you're turning right, and this person moves over into your lane quickly because there's no one else there and not going right, going straight. You have hurry sickness. How about at the supermarket? You know, you're coming out, you're coming in for a few things, you're checking out, and you immediately start to scan all of the checkout lines. And you start counting Okay, the number of people in that line. Okay, I'm not going in that line. I'm not going in that line. I'm definitely not going in that line. And then you see one you might like. And then you go down to look at the amount of items they have in their basket. And that starts to determine which, I'm not going in that line either. And so finally you pick a line and you go into it. And the line you didn't pick, the person, the line you would have been in, and you're checking, is checking out and out of the store before you are. And it irritates you. You might have hurry sickness. In an airplane, is the last example. You land, you got your, you're getting down, you've been on a plane for 3 hours, you're the first person with their seat belt off, and they say don't take it off before the plane's fully stopped and in parked position, but you already got your seat belt off, you're standing up, and you're standing there just looking at, you're in coach, and you're looking at everybody in front of you. You know you're not going to get off the plane for 20 minutes, but it angers you because you can't get off the plane. I am eternally guilty of that one right there. So, interesting thing about hurry sickness is the people that have it know they have it, and the people that they see that don't think they have it, we think those people are lazy. Interesting fact. Did you know they even, for people with hurry sickness, they even published a book not too long ago for parents who are extremely busy, and it's called 1 Minute Bedtime Stories for Busy Parents to Read to Their Children. Man, it just struck me as a, my how time just flies. You know, I got a secret for you though. It's a big one. You know, time doesn't really fly. Did you know that the clock ticks away at the same time it has the same minutes, the same seconds, the same hour as it has for eternity? Yet, we constantly say time is flies. You know, we keep blaming the time for our need to be rushing it out. But, you know, the fault doesn't really lie with time. The fault lies with you, not with time. You know, I have a good friend that's told me many times about when I'm rushing around and said, I just don't have time to get that done. And he looks at me and every time he says, and has repeated this many times, it's not that you didn't have time, Jeff. You just didn't make time to get it done. You know, I've used that many, 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 many times as he's drilled it in me. He's back there at a children's church. If you want to go talk to him about it, he'll be happy to repeat it to you. I've used that tons of times when helping people out understand that sometimes when they're moving too fast or they need to slow down. I want to tell you another story about slowing down when it comes to your time with God. As we get into the purpose of our talk, is slowing down, finding time for Him. I read a story about a little boy at church. His name was Tommy. He had a best friend. His name was Jimmy. Well, Tommy, little boy, always went with his parents there every week. But, you know, his dad was watching his son one day, and his son was just sitting and looking around and kept doing that, and, you know, just looking around, not really paying attention. He's like, you know, son, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm looking for my friend. He says, where is he, Dad? Well, they're not here today. Well, Dad, why aren't they here today? And his dad replied, they're just busy people and didn't have time today to come. So his saw his son over the years growing up doing that same thing. Every time his friend wasn't there, he'd look around, anxiously looking for his friend. And every time his dad would say, they just were busy people. They didn't have time to come today. Well, as time goes on, he becomes an adult. And he himself suddenly doesn't have time to come to spend time with the Lord. And his dad tries frantically to, you know, you missed the day, son. You missed the day, because they never missed. And his son repeatedly says, Dad, I'm so busy. I don't have time. I don't have time. And time flies a little longer. And unfortunately, the man's son dies in a car crash. Unexpectedly, just quickly. And his father, just mortified, was, you know, asked about the loss of his son. And he said, I'm going to miss my son, but the one thing I miss the most is the mistake I made as a dad. And he said, I should have told my son that they just decided not to spend time with the Lord. I went through a study when I was going through this sermon as coming up with a topic because I wanted to be able to explain it to you as great as possible. But I decided going through this that I want to do the study together with y'all today. And that's where we were talking about volunteering. So we're going to go through a study together looking about what the Bible teaches us about slowing down and making sure we have time for Him. So we're going to look first at four verses getting into it. So can I have four volunteers, and I want to give you a verse today. Just need four. Ron, you got one? Okay, Ron, you're going to get Job 9, chapter 9, verse 25. Okay, here in a second. Okay, a second volunteer? Anybody? Jennifer? Okay, I've got Proverbs 20, chapter 21, verse 5. Okay, and another volunteer right there, you're going to get Proverbs also, chapter 19, verse 2. Okay, and I've got one more volunteer that I need. Look up in Psalms. Thanks, Vera. Okay, Psalm chapter 46, verse 10. Okay, so we got Job 9:25, Proverbs 21:5, Proverbs 19:2, and Psalms 46:10. I'll give everybody a second to get to their verses, and then they'll move on from there. Okay, so let's first take a look at what a fast-paced lifestyle does to us and what the Bible has to say about a fast-paced lifestyle. You know, one of the first things that we hear about it is having a fast-paced lifestyle increases our stress level. You lose sleep, you're constantly worried, you're on edge. And let's just first take a look at Job 9:25. Connor's going to bring the microphone around because you're probably loud enough. Okay. Our days are stressful. They flee away. They feel no good. So, you know, being a busy person, that scripture tells us it steals the joy out of your life. It just does. When you're so stressful, things are going by, it just steals the joy out of your life. So our next scripture, Proverbs 21:5. Jennifer, would you like the microphone? No? Haste leads to poverty. So it's telling us when you're moving too fast, did you know you're less productive in life when you're moving faster than when you take the time to slow down and think about the decisions you're going to do or how you're going to do things? So interesting thing. So let's read Proverbs 19:2 right back here. Wow, that's a great one. Interesting thing. So that's telling us, you know, you cannot keep charging along, moving forward, without taking the time to recharge. You got to recharge. You got to take a little bit of time to recharge. Okay, and Psalms 46:10 back there in the back. Thanks, Vera.
Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
Wow. That's interesting. So it says when we're too busy and don't take time to recharge, that we're less productive and we don't have that joy in our lives, that it deafens us to God's voice because we can't spend enough time with Him, that we miss that joy. You know, the Bible gives us, you know, four biblical principles about how to slow down. And it does, and I want to share them with you here today. And, you know, the first principle in slowing down that the Bible teaches us is you got to be first honest about your motives, about wanting to slow down. Ambition is often good, and it is, and there are a lot of ambitious people, and you know, we want to be successful and we want to make more money and we want to get things done, and we like that belly rub you get when you've gone above and beyond, and you know, you get that, oh, I'm a good boy, you know, I did a good job, you know, it makes you feel good. So, but we got to be careful not to confuse our work with worth. Okay? So, the issue to slowing down typically is not cleaning our schedule. It's the starting point is becoming content with what our schedule is. So let's look at a couple of verses here. I got two things for you. So I need another volunteer, or we can use the same ones. It's okay. Somebody wants to read for me. Anybody? Jennifer, you're going to read for me again? Perfect. You're going to get Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. Okay, I need one more volunteer for a short verse. You got it? Okay, all right. So you're going to get Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6. And Jennifer's got Philippians 4, 11 through 13. Let's just give her a chance to find it real quick so she can mark her spot. And then for all those that want to follow along, and if you want the microphone, we got it for you. Okay, go ahead and read Philippians 4, 11 through 13 for me.
I'm not saying this because I'm a weak, for I've learned to be content with whatever circumstances. I know
Wow. Very, very interesting time. So the issue again, as the Bible teaches us, is slowing down is not about clinging our schedule. It's about the starting point is becoming content. So let's read our next verse so we can learn about being honest about our motives.
4:6, right?
Ecclesiastes 4:6. That's correct. Okay, read that one more time. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. You know, you want the mic? Bring me the microphone so everybody can hear. That it doesn't have their Bible following along. Thanks, Carl. Here we go.
Better is a handful with quietness than both hands full with travail and vexation of spirit.
Oh, wow. So better is it to just be slow down a little bit and have the right motives than be too busy and have too much to get accomplished, right? You get overwhelmed, and it talks about that. All right, good. So we're learning. The Bible tells us you got to slow down a little bit. And you got to have the right mindset to be able to, and the right motives to slow down. So let's look at the second point the Bible has to teach us today about slowing down. Introducing the word no into your vocabularies. You know, I like to call people that can't, when you're not using the word no, you're collecting monkeys. Okay, and I use this all the time with the guys that I work with, and I say, you know, that's your job, but why are you doing his job? Well, he didn't get it done right, and so I just took it on, and I said, well, now it's your responsibility. You just took his monkey. So, and then what happens with those people is the more monkeys you take on, the more overwhelmed you become, and then you become in a spot where you can't ever get anything done. So being able to say no gets monkeys off your back. Just monkeys. Get rid of those monkeys. So, we all have a to-do list that we got to do. I can tell you, I got a to-do list for work. I got a to-do list at home. I got a to-do list for the wife. And it's never ending, and my wife's to-do list is always the longest. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. She's sitting right there. So we all got this to-do list of what we do, but we don't take this time to do is determine what matters most on that to-do list. And we need to promise before and deliberate before we decide what we agree to say yes to and what we agree to say we have to say no to. So let's see what the Bible says about saying no. So I got two verses here for us to read, and I need two more volunteers. They're both in Proverbs. They're just one verse in itself. Anybody? Okay, Craig? You're going to read for me? Perfect. Okay, Connor's going to bring the microphone over. Craig, you're going to read Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13. Proverbs 18, 13. I've got one more verse for somebody to read for me in Proverbs. Anybody? Oh, perfect. Okay, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 25. Okay, so Craig, you're going to read Proverbs 18, 13. Okay, in just one second. And she's going to read for me Proverbs 20, 25. So, introducing the word no in our vocabulary. We're getting rid of monkeys. So let's see what it has to say. Go ahead and read that verse for me, Craig.
Uh,
Okay, can we read it just one more time so I can hear it? Bring it up just a little bit.
It's folly and shame unto him.
Gotcha. So he that speaks before he thinks, you know, is mired in shame. Man, that's some serious wisdom right there. You know, I tell people all the time, we are terrible about this with ourselves because we don't use that thing sometimes between our ears before that thing down here starts to talk. And we get ourselves in trouble and we don't learn how to say no. So let's read that next verse right there and see what it says. You want the microphone? Okay. Wow, that's a pretty powerful verse right there. So, teaches us to say, think before you commit to something, think before you say yes, and think to make sure you need to say no. So let's look at another principle here today. So, you know, the third principle we're going to look about is we have this great owner's manual. And it's called a Bible. It's got a lot of great information in it. But typically, you know, unfortunately, how many of you can say they've read the Bible cover to cover? Two. We all know we should. We all know it's full of great information. You know, I've gone to church every week of my entire life almost for 43 years, and I haven't read the thing from cover to cover. But I know I should. But I haven't taken the time to do it. But it's a great owner's manual. So so let's look at what it says the owner's manual says about taking time to just make sure we're getting everything done we should. So we're going to go all the way back to the front of the Bible, and we're going to read in Exodus chapter 20, verses 9 to 11. Can I get somebody to read that for me, please? We're going to go to Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to look at 9 through 11. Thanks, Ron. Appreciate that. Exodus chapter... You know, I have read dozens and dozens and dozens of books on managing. You know, I mean, that's what I do for a living. I manage people, so you always want to read these books. And you know, these people get paid all this money to say something that we just read in two verses in writing. So it talks about the Sabbath day here, and it talks about having a day of rest and a day of worship. Now, I can tell you the experience that. I work people. I mean, in the restaurant industry, you work people to death. I mean, you try to get as many hours as you can out of them. But I require, you just do. He's laughing. He knows what I'm talking about. Those guys, they just keep coming. So wait till you get on salary in the restaurant industry. Then you're really in for it. So, but I require my guys to take 2 days off a week, period. They have to take 2 days off a week because I want 2 days off a week. I got to have it. Because one is I got to have a day to rest. You just got to have it to recoup, re-energize, think through my thoughts, get organized, just do my own thing. And I got to have a day to get things personal done. So if you just take 1 day off a week, you never have a day of rest, and you never have a day to get everything done. So if you work 6 days, you miss one of the things missed, and you follow into that rush, 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 and you're always behind, and you get agitated, and then as we talk about that, you start taking monkeys on, and then you get a little more overwhelmed, and then things start to just slide down for you. The Bible says you got to have a day of rest, and you got to have a day to get things organized, to go through it. So the fourth point I want to look at is trust in God's timing. Okay, so we're going to, faster, I can assure you, does not always mean better. And faster has never meant better. in any industry whatsoever. Because when you go too fast, it takes the art out of making that little thing. You know, where industry you look at today, you know, you always hear, well, they don't build it like they used to. Well, that's, you know, things back before used to last, you know, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. You know, things they build now last 5 years, a week, you know, three years, just because, you know, they're trying to produce. They've increased productivity so much that it's not better anymore than it used to be. So let's take a look at what the Bible again has to say about this. I need one more volunteer to read one more verse. So last one, I assure you. One more. Jennifer? Perfect. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 9 through 14. And this is the last verse, so everybody get a chance to find it in your Bibles there. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 9 through 14. Give it 1 second for you, everybody still turn. Okay, go ahead.
What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end.
Wow. Is that through 14? Through 11? Through 14, please. It's a perfect ending to the four principles of talking about slowing down. It's trusting God's timing. You know, it's not that we need, you know, better time management when we're learning to slow down. You just got to trust in God's principles of what the Bible teaches us about what your life is supposed to be like. And that's a perfect example in that verses right there where God just talks about, hey, I want everybody to be happy. I want you to take some time. I want you to have time to yourself. I want you to dedicate some time to me. I want you to slow down. I want you to find out what the things that are important to you in life. And above all, I want you to be able to say no when it doesn't fit into things that are important for you. Period. So I don't have all the answers for you guys about how to solve your personal time management issues. You may not have any, but if you do, I assure you I can't solve it for you. You know, those are things you got to solve for yourself. But those four principles I just gave you there, hopefully you can take those and put them into your own life and say, okay, the Bible just told me this. How can I put that into my principle? You know, an old saying goes, life is too short. It just does. The Apostle Paul, I can tell you, would agree with you that life is too short. And there's a scripture, he says that where Paul agrees that the time God has given us to us is a precious gift and not to be wasted doing the things that take away from the time we have for God, our family, our friends, and in fact, anyone, because we're just too busy. No one knows except God how much time you have. That's just the way it is. No one knows how much time you really have but God. But I don't want to be Jimmy who ran out of time, who failed to not take enough time. Come now, you who say, we're going to look at one more verse here together that I'm going to read to you. It's in James. It's chapter 4. And it's verses 13 and 14. James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. And it says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, let's go into this city and spend a year there, trade, and make a profit. Whereas you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. For what is your life? For you are a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You know, I'd like to finish today with some direct words from Jesus to hopefully make you think about the time you have and possibly, potentially, the time that you're truly spending with Him and making good decisions about spending time with Him. Jesus, if you look, Jesus, you know, he was a great healer of hurry sickness. I can assure you that. He even talks about it in one verse written for us. And He says to us in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, and I'm going to read it for you here today. "Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You got to make sure you have time for Him. I got to go back to this box over here. You know, as a remembrance, some of you know, third generation involved the Christian churches here. My grandfather was the pastor here for a long time. And my dad's still the pastor at our sister church on the south side, Southmore Christian Church. You know, I don't think I'm going to become the pastor here, but you never know what happens. But, you know, Ron's laughing at me right there because he was a retired pastor here for 30 years after my grandfather passed. But, you know, it's humbling being up here as a third generation of my family to be able to give a message about talking about God. And I was looking again at, you know, thinking about my own personal time that I have and what this little box here represents. I told you in the beginning of the story about how my grandfather and my dad used to spend time together, and they made sure they spent time together every Saturday. And they worshipped and studied the Bible together for 2 hours every Saturday till he passed. This box represents that. And it represents to me, have I made sure I had the time to study with my dad like they did? Because I'm sure the lesson in that, what he tried to teach us is, you know, to make time. Make time for study. Make time for the Lord. Make time for family. Make time for friends. Make time for anyone. So it pleases, it's pleasing to you and it's pleasing to God. So I can tell you that I'm an extremely bad time management when it comes to making time for God, family, friends. And I know I don't spend enough time doing the things I should be doing. But this symbol here was a revelation to me as I was going through this sermon and researching that this represents time lost that I can never get back. So I'm going to look at this every day on my desk and say, have I had enough time today? Have I given enough time today to the things that are most important in my life? I encourage you to find a symbol also that represents that one thing that makes sure you've given enough time to things that are important in your life. You've said no. You haven't collected monkeys. You've made time. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation here today. Offer into anything that you need. You need prayer. You haven't taken the step of becoming baptized yet, of offering yourself up to Christ to receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. We can do that here today. But stand as you will as we sing our hymn of invitation.